pursuit of conversation is supported by the generous donations of Rollo, Susie, Henrik, and Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Good evening and welcome to Bongversations, episode number 56 on the 22nd of March 2026. And I've got Dave J on the other side of the world at the 21st of March 2026. Bongversations, ready to go, Dave. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing super, doing well.
Oh, you sound good too.
Oh, great. I'm happy to hear that, man. Yeah, So we were doing 56, which of course we normally talk about, you know, whether it be, elements and things like that. And today I wanted to talk about the construct, like what Morpheus, you know, for example, what Morpheus talks about at the beginning of, Matrix as, you know, where he stands there in the Baphomet pose. With the one arm high and the one arm low, and he's offering this blank construct. So I'd like to speak about that through the idea of really just the 11 or the two or the concern, the idea of what's placed in front of you, what that concern is. And if you remember in the book I did, Code of Creation.
Yes,
if you take a look, the code, it's like the concern is the yellow green. It's the limelight. It's that point that motion becomes emotion and reaction becomes reflex. It's that point to where this whole thing now, then this light has been offered. The next thing that's going to happen is going to be the ring, which is all this starts into that first ring of action, the 369, bing, 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 which leads you into the whole thing of just running the perpetual loop. So this is really just really, you almost want to say this is when the spotlight turns on, the limelight spotlight cranks on, and then you're in it.
Yeah.
So now you're going to perform. So then you're going to perform for whatever this two or this power is. All right. Now then, so then to talk about that through, and before I forget, I almost did. We were talking before we just restarted about
the start of the war, the sixth planet alignment. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to explain to everyone kind of like the starting point. Now I always start with the same outline. War is a hoax. It is controlled demolition and strategic relocation. That's like my starting point. So then I say, okay, then if it is controlled demolition and strategic relocation, those should be viewable points, meaning I should be able to look and see those points of construction, of demolition. So then if you take a start date of February 28th, 2026, we were speaking about the different, so-called planets that were in that alignment.
Yeah. And then, one was missing.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that was missing is of course Mars. Now Mars is known for the idea of war. So then if you have, let's just say if you have think of it spiritually, if you have the other lights in the sky, so then you would have, Saturn, Jupiter, Mercury, Uranus, Neptune, Venus. Then those powers. And if you think of powers as tunes or tones, what I'll do is I'll add at the end of this video is I I almost want to say I can make a video on this one now, is I'm going to add what each one of these so-called planets sound like tune-wise. If you listen to the tone through let's say Saturn as a D note or Mercury as a C note, and it also identifies what color you see when you identify with these different let's just say inputs. So if you're going to stand outside under these different alignments, if you're aware of what input's coming at you, you can now know how to tune to it and listen. That's why it matters what planets are so-called aligned if you're going to produce black magic, which is how this place works, to produce the script on time. And this isn't just, not only is it kind of the occult magicians doing it, kind of the highest level masons, but really just the smaller orders, but the more, learned, the Rosicrucians, things like that. Those different smaller groups are going to keep it straight. And all this is just simply timing. This is, so you have this kind of the sun, moon and stars using as a timetable. So then if you look at February 28th as the missing Mars cycle or the war is now on the plane, then what's going to be offered to you to be biblically sound or scripturally sound is a man of peace or a peace offering, which bookmarks on an alignment, which is missing, where Mars comes back into the alignment, but Venus drops out, or love, which means that the false love then it replaces the war on the plane of existence.
On August the 12th?
Yeah, August the 12th. So you basically have a war cycle until then, and then you have this false peace cycle. Now, this is the peace and safety cycle that's been much talked about in Revelation. This idea that that this new world is going to offer you peace and safety. It's also this idea of moving towards what's called a digital ledger.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now the digital ledger, that gets into all the kind of the side stuff that's I'm not really interested in, but I'm more interested in kind of what you're seeing, and I know you're into this as well. If you look up at the sky and you see these twinkling lights, what's being offered to you as far as in this way of frequency? So then if you take, and let's just take a look at the alignment of the start of the so-called war. Okay. Let's just look at what powers were there. You know the names, Saturn, Neptune, Jupiter, Venus, Mercury, and Uranus. You know those names. But then, if you look at the actual colors that were being offered to you in that same order, it's blue, indigo, red, orange, yellow, green, yellow, blue, green. Do you see how so the blue brought you into the indigo, which is the idea of violence, into the red, orange, which is the idea of the 33. It's also the third in alignment, which brought you into yellow, green, yellow, and blue, green, which is the idea of the other three. The first three brought you into the idea of violence. The second three, Venus, Mercury, and Uranus, brought you into the blue-green of the two, the limelight, or you know, the yellow-blue. So then you see how it led you right into it.
Yeah, but also at that stage there was a blood moon on that the next day. So you had the full blood moon. So you had that blood orange thing that we were talking about before as well.
Absolutely. Mm. Oh yeah, the blood orange idea. So yeah, if you have the orange, which is also representative of the 33, this idea of the 3-3 pushed together, creating a present. You know, the six. So if I can force a present onto you, if I can force a box onto you, if you think of present not only as the time, but as a box, it's meaning it's an offering being given to you. So it's like they're offering you these stories and these events. And as a character or as a person in this place, you have to live through it. Now you have the choice of living through it as a dead man or as a free man in Christ. Now, the dead man is going to believe all this stuff is happening, or is going to believe some sort of variation of a conspiracy theory, but still requires him to physically, you know, put his heart palpitations into it. Do you see what I'm saying? His emotion.
Yeah.
If he's still putting his emotion into it, then they still got you. It doesn't matter what side of it you're on, as long as they got you. The idea is walking the straight and narrow, or walking on water, because this is the water. those colors I just told you, it's like a wave being sent to you. And when what you do, you're going to ride that wave. If you're a surfer, you ride that joke and you just bounce right off the top, man. Yeah. You land right on that board and you paddle out for the next one. You don't need to ride it all the way into the beach, you know, because you already know where it's going. Yeah. So then at the end of this cycle, August 12th, now we're looking in the future. Now, oh, speaking of which, the so-called 56 demon or grimoire is one that allows you to see the past, present, and what's to come, but also the idea of procuring that knowledge through someone with the love of a woman, that idea offering you kind of people who might not normally have such quote-unquote luck will all of a sudden start having quote-unquote luck. And certain people will come into their life, which are not there for good reason, because not everyone you run into is real. Just so you know.
I started working that one out a while ago.
Yeah. So then you have this grimoire idea, which is almost like it relates directly to Venus and the moon, by the way, which you brought up. Do you see?
Yeah.
The idea of the pillar, it's always the two is always the one next to the sun. So that's how you know the sun, the moon, the stars, 1, 2, 3. But then you also, if you think about the idea of, the past, present, or future, that's going to be really looking at, what we've already talked about, before, which would have been, let's just say the Amun, which is the seventh spirit, seven. Seven Amun, which is, like some would say Amun Ra, or the idea of that. So Amun is the idea of the seventh demon, the spirit. And also, before we get too far ahead, Morpheus, which is kind of this idea of what I want to bring in. This idea of this Morpheus is offering you this 432 or 440 kind of offering. I offer you this yellow gold, bright green, or I offer you this red orange idea, as above, so below. So it's this false offering, but then you have these two different tones. So Morpheus it equals 115 if you add them up, which 5 + 1 + 1 = 7. All right. And also if you go ahead and just, if you reduce, let's say M is 13 and O is 15 and R is 18. If you do it that way, it reduces to 43. 4 + 3 = 7. So you see how Morpheus is also the idea of offering you this idea, this one-on-one saying, I offer you the red or the blue.
Yeah.
And we just got done talking about kind of the idea of the red or the blue offering. You know, something's just jumping around on here. So then this idea of red and blue. So then what is the red and blue in this place or this existence? But the idea or the choice between two frequencies, the 432 or the 440. The 432 equaling your 9 or your idle or your rest, which if 432 is through a spectrometer type and you view it, you would see the yellow green or the bright green, the idea of the limelight. Because you know, if you take if you do this in, let's say, digital or paint, let's say Microsoft Paint, Rick, if you take 255 green, if you're going to make green by itself, you put 255 and you put red and blue to zero. It's almost like a bright or a neon green, which this is, which is 432.
Interesting.
That's very important, because that's the idea of if you're going to, you know, what color brings your mind peace, but also then what color can be hijacked to offer a false peace. That's what we're talking about on this August 12th idea. That where this 440, which is the idea of if you see it in color form, it's going to look like a red orange. 440. So it's this false hertz. It's this false music that it gives your, it offers you an abrasive tone. So you're listening to it and it doesn't matter what the words say. It matters what where the music's pitched. It's going to offer you this abrasiveness, which that you're going to feel in your body. And you can feel it. Yeah. So then 432 is going to be, it's more like the verdant colored, like green, literally green. It's a bright green. It's a yellow or a gold. Now notice we've talked about who's been offered this 432, this false gold, but this hoax Trump character who's offering this golden age.
Yeah.
And who's bathing themselves with gold and things like that. So then you see these characters. Once you see these characters are quite literally just playing roles from a script, then you can look at, okay, then, well, the script, when is that going to happen? So speaking of which, if you go to August 12th in the future, let's jump in our time machine, go to the morning of August 12th. There's going to be a six planet parade. All right. And then you're going to have Jupiter, Mars returning, Saturn, Mercury, Uranus, Neptune. That's going to be your lineup. So you're going to have like this. So if you go by the first spot, which we talked about, you're going to have like this law of expansion. That's the dominance. That's of the East. That's the powers of the East. That's the idea of a new love coming in. Mars then is number two. That's the return of the iron, or the return of the king, who will rule with an iron rod. So then that's when you shift from this idea of war to peace and safety, peace and security, peace and, you know, we're going to keep this secure by keeping this boot on your neck.
You
know? And then thank you.
Oh yeah, thank you, oh golden one, for doing this.
Yeah, yeah. Ovid, you know, the Ovid. So this idea, this Ovid or this dream, and we're even going to get that too, because this is what we're talking about, is this dream world coming into reality, because so many have been programmed, literally programmed, to accept it as being a natural progression of life. They say, yeah. Oh, okay, now we're moving to the point to where I have to live in a box and, you know, and get treated like a joker all day. No, that's not the way it is, but that's, they've been trained and pushed and nudged into thinking that's correct. So we have Mars, then you have Saturn, which is in the third spot. And then that's always the new boundary. It's like, think of Saturn as the ring. If Saturn gets introduced, it's like on a record. It's like there was that little gap between the songs, and now a new song is going to play. Yeah. Right? Then you have Mercury, which is, of course, which is going to be a peace treaty. Mercury is always kind of the messenger of a peace treaty. So that would be what's called a covenant. If you're talking like scriptural type thing, you're looking at making a covenant with many. And then the Uranus Neptune kind of mismatch, because they'll be mixed at the end, because they're so close together that the frequency will be mixed. That's really the fog of the truth, meaning that it sounds so good to be true, but at the end, it's like it just kind of trails off. You ever have watch a movie like that, or a read a book to where it's so good 3/4 of the way through, but the person didn't know how to end it, or if they told you the true ending, it would have been too much.
Yeah, it by Stephen King. I got that vibe off that book. It went south about 20 pages, 40 pages before the end of it. It was up until then fantastic, but.
What's interesting about the IT is that it's going to be the what is IT but 9020 or 9292, so that's your 9/11.
Yeah,
that's your 9/11 right there. But it's also, it always represents the devil, or the idea of the Satan, or the fallen mind, which is really just it's the temptation to lie without reason, quite frankly. It's like if you run into a man or a woman who lies to you, to your face, about something that you know is absurd, you have to ask, you know, you ask yourself at least once, why would they do that? And the reason they do that is because they're not of their right mind.
Yeah.
The mind that is operating them is not of their right mind, meaning that they're possessed by a fallen light. Period. Yeah. It's one or the other. So we kind of went through just the sequence of the lights in the sky for the August 12th idea, just so you kind of know that's the story being told in the sky as it passes. And we could have told a story as well for the start. It's, you see this one, then this one, this one, and each one is offering you a frequency, a color. And as you bring it in, if you're one of these practitioners, That's the power. That's the frequency or technology, for lack of a better term, that is then being introduced with them all in the sky at once. By those lights, collected, you can then produce outcome. You can shift future by knowing what's going to happen. You simply, to change the future, Rick, all you simply do, if you're these powers, is simply put out a bigger story that takes away people's attention from seeing that.
Yes.
And then just by taking the attention away, if they don't see it, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It still happened. It just wasn't noticed by most. Do you see? Because in law, ignorance of the law is no excuse. No,
sorry, you're listening to Bongversations 56. Back after the break.
No matter what your age, you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Conversation 56, Dave, keep on going, man. We've just been talking about the,
So if any of this is going to happen, there's got to be a mechanism, a earthly process of that happening. And if you haven't heard that there's something called the Board of Peace, which the Trump characters, which started, and he's the chairman for life.
Fantastic.
And there's 22 member states. Now, this is, it's kind of a bunch of the B-listers. Sorry to say that, like Morocco and Kosovo and Jordan. Israel, of course, is part of it. But all these type of states, not really any European states. These are all the ones who are going to be going to a different kind of, a ledger system. It deals with a ledger. It deals with the implementation of a currency, a digital ledger, and things like that. But I don't want to get too tied into that. But that's where all that's going to get tied into. If you want to look into it, look into the Board of Peace, which is the chairman for life, Donald J. Trump.
Did he vote himself into that position? I'd say he did.
And it's Board of Peace. It's got these big, the actual, seal is all gold. And the Board of Peace is what's going to bring in this resolution coming up, I'm putting on August 12th.
August the 12th.
Due to the alignments. That's all.
Without any doubt, everything seems to be done on this clock floating around above our heads. Yeah. So you're right.
So let's talk then more about this Morpheus character and kind of like, and we talk about the seven a lot, but man, the seven is like, if you take pure water on the pH scale, neutral, that's water. That's seven. So if we're walking on the water, man, if this is what we're meant to do, is walk on the water, not kind of splash around in these ideas, just walk upon it. Then we identify the seven. We identify the pure water from the foul water and we walk upon it, or we drink what's pure, toss what's not. So now we have identified kind of what's going on there. So then I was looking at kind of the Morpheus character and how it deals with, how it comes from like Ovid makes Morpheus, one of a thousand sons of, lights. Think of lights. When they say sons, think more like personalities or reflections of, sleep or somas, like the idea of sleeping. So then when you're sleeping, you bring in this dream state, but this dream state, it's good and evil, and it's really anything you want it to be. The thing is, and here's where it's important, is if you are one of these people who have, let's just say, dabbled in the occult recklessly, the spirits are going to get you in this dream world. There's a way in. And that's where the It character also, which you've mentioned, that's where the It character is going to worm its way in through dreams. And the way that it's going to work through dreams is, as you're having a dream, and this also works through daydreaming, so it can happen through daydreaming as well, which is kind of it's a different, you'll be shown something and then you'll wake up and you might only remember that one detail, but that one detail is the worm, and that worm's going to go in, and that's all you needed to remember. because that worm's going to lead you down the primrose path type idea. Now, so then I was looking at this idea of what, like comic books, and I knew that you know DC. I think you know DC, right?
Big time, yeah, everything.
You know the Sandman then?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so the Sandman is kind of this, and you help me where I'm, I get it wrong, but he's part of the Endless, and he's particularly, he allows, or he goes in and he offers the dream state and the nightmares, dreams and nightmares, this and that. And he's part of seven, which they call the family. There's your number again, seven, which is destiny, death, dream, destruction, desire, despair, and delirium. Notice all the D's, D, D, D. They're all doors.
Yeah.
They're all, and they're also, so then you go into the, and then also then destiny, this idea of destiny is the one that carries what I want to say through the, and you can help me on the nomenclature. It's called the cosmic log. Cosmic log. That's funny, man. I also find sitting on the throne to be funny, but.
Well, it's, they're all kind of have that scatological, meaning. It's interesting. So do you think, Freddy Krueger is a kind of also a part of archetype of that Sandman thing as well?
Oh, he's a nightmare. He's just really a nightmare. So, because Sandman is the one who offers the dreams of pleasure and nightmare. Because if you're in the comics or in the, if you don't mind, you want to talk about the TV series that came out, two seasons.
Yeah.
Where you had, you had, it was called the Sandman, and you had this like grouchy face looking main character who played whoever played the Sandman in the Tom something or other. He has like this, he looks a lot like the character who plays the new Sherlock Holmes. He has that same sort of look to his face, but he played the Lord Dream Lord or Morpheus, which they call, and notice that the Dream Lord is Morpheus or is named Morpheus because in Morpheus then is the idea of the seven or this dream lord, which most people then follow.
Yeah.
Now this, and you'll notice where a lot of this is type programming because in the first season, one of the main missions of this, this Morpheus character was he got entrapped by an occultist for 100 years, I want to say. So he got trapped for 100 years. He got put in this like cage, this glass cage with metal bars, and he was trapped for 100 years. And he finally got out by one of the people who were, who were guarding. He rubbed his foot on the sigil that you remember I told you that you keep demons, locked through sigils, which is nothing more than mathematics.
Yes.
All right. So then he lets him out through the person's dream. And of course the rest, then he starts going after this character called Corinthian. Now, Corinthian is this, not only is the idea of a people or a church, but it's also the idea of a pillar. Now, a Corinthian pillar. Now, Corinthian, just so you know, they could have put this character out many different ways, but they put this character out as being like a sightless, blindless, he always wore glasses. And he would go out and he would actually murder humans, like mortals. And he'd pluck their eyes out, pop them out and eat them.
Lovely.
So you see, this is the character, much like Dexter, to where they're romanticizing, like serial killing.
And in fact,
And in fact, in the first episode, they had a serial killer or they had a serial convention where they spell it like cereal, like the box cereal that you're eating. It was like cereal. And there was a bunch of so-called, serial killers having a convention. It's a bit strange because it is a dream, centric type story. So even the so-called, reality side of the stories are a bit dreamlike as well, in meaning that it's too ridiculous to be true. And what happens is a little bit different at the end is that the Morpheus shows all the serial killers their true nature. And of course, you know what happens then. They all go bananas and go crazy. But then I thought the second season, which kind of left the mortal plane and it went and it stayed more up into the spiritual realms. And it talked about these different kind of reflections of the one. Of the one fallen light, whether it be destruction or desire, despair, all that. And of course, desire is displayed as a, tranny.
Really?
Obviously. Oh, yeah. And death is a black woman. Now, death is shown in this series as the person craps out. And then the next thing, they're standing right next to the character of death and there's no Grim Reaper or anything. Like that, they just walk off and poof. So that's how it's displayed. Despair is played by like this kind of overweight fat chick, and so each thought is like this. So if you're feeling despair, it's like they offer you this kind of like this fat girl sitting in her own sweat talking about, no, it's I can't do that. That's just not something I want to do. You know, so you see how they offer you these different characters. So I thought the second season kind of when they went up into the spiritual realm was a bit easier to take. The first, I don't recommend the show, but it does talk to you about these different
this ideas. Is the Sandman TV show. Yep.
Yeah. And then the actual cartoon, which is more of a comic book, it's quite a cult. In fact, all this stuff is a cult. And it's all about
Marvel and DC, which number 7 is, of course, as you know.
Yeah.
Is 100%. And even I look at just Freddy Krueger, FK, you got your 6/11 that turned it upside down, 9/11. Yep. You know, it's.
Hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish that. But I want you to tell everybody about your Monty Python discovery. Go ahead.
Oh, years ago, this is, you know, when I asked for the truth, you know, as we've talked about this before, I asked for the truth and I started getting it everywhere, you know, and I was watching one of my favorite films is The Life of Brian. Not as good as their first one, the Holy Grail, but very good. But anyway, there's a particular scene in it and it happens to be called the nine-bladed sword scene. If you look it up, go onto YouTube. Mm. And it's a guy saying, there'll be a nine-bladed sword, not two or five, but nine.
Nine.
And then it moves along and you start seeing another prophet. There's three different prophets. And behind one of the prophets, the shadow of the candles behind his head form an upside down 9/11. And it's so obvious if you can see these things and, you know, you ask for truth, you'll start seeing it everywhere. Right. And you'll start annoying everyone in the cinema if you go to the cinema and want to point these things out, but I don't anymore. But it's well worth looking up Nine-Bladed Sword on YouTube, Monty Python. Tell me that is not. And that's what I'm suggesting that Terry Gilliam that directed it, who worked for Mad Magazine back when he was young. Oh, sorry, for the guy that created Mad Magazine. He obviously knows stuff and we can discuss his movies and you know them as well.
Terry Gilliam, that would be 20 and a 7, right? That's your 9. 9. Also, notice when you said not 2, not 5, but not 9. Two. That's 2 + 5 = 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 into 9.
That's why I thought it was really unusual numbers to go, not 2 or 5, but 9. Yeah. He's playing playing the same voice as Reverend Ian Paisley in the Irish politician evangelist. Mm-hmm. That was his voice. They're copying off, yeah. But you know, they're there, so you can see these things if you're awake. are awake,
yeah. And also going back to just before I leave that series, the
Sandman
series. I want to say the one the season one episode one would have been called The Sleep of the Just. Which is really just what happened was it explains what happens. It's almost like a butterfly effect. If then the dream weaver is taken out of the loop and then kept in a cage, what then happens to the dreamscape? Meaning other things can come into your mind that way. if there are certain boundaries taken down. So that's interesting about, and I won't go into any more about that. I won't ruin it. But then if you go into the season two, which deals with the idea of, overall, it's the 12th episode, but it's season. So that would be, if you did that together, it would be either 21, which is your three, or you could even go the 12th plus one. And that would be your 13, the yeah. idea of your Krona, your mind. And it's called Season of the Mists, M-I-S-T-S. We talked about the mist. The idea yeah. of the mist is what's coming in on the mist. The fog. So then you always have, yeah, the fog, the mist, all of that. It's, and it deals. And what's nice about this is if you pay attention to the different names of the people who do the teleplays and the directed by, you'll notice that if they have certain names, they're going to have certain backgrounds, and those certain backgrounds are going to be most likely going to be from the Kabbalah side. So all yeah. you simply need to do is look at the different Kabbalah heavy or even kind of lore heavy, because they'll introduce Thor and everything else in these. You strip away all those that report to someone, and you toss them aside, and you just look at who they're actually getting to at the top. And it's going to be the Christ or the Antichrist spirit, one or the other. It's the 432, the 440. It's this or that. You can't serve two masters. It's the idea. If you're sitting on the fence, you get picked off, you know? Yeah. So then that's why this, and once you know what this place is, this place that we're dealing with, when we walk outside, you can go look at the stars right now, and you can just know the frequency. You can write it down, and you can read literally, like we did earlier. We can read the story that's being presented. Now, we read a story that's in the future that hasn't happened yet, but it will on August 12th. But we've already read the story because it's going to be there, because it has to be there.
Mm. Because that's also, so we also got the, August is 8th and the 12th is yep. 3. So you got 11 on the,
yep. Yeah.
Numerically, yeah.
Yep. So I wanted to talk about before, if people have seen the Matrix and they've seen kind of like the different characters, like Morpheus isn't even in the top 10 of powerful characters in that whole Matrix universe. He's just one that's offering you the red pill, blue pill. He's a low level character. But have you ever seen the Animatrix?
No.
The okay. Well, if you take a look at the Animatrix, it's, what is it? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's several. Let's just say several. I want to say 7 or 8. 8 might be right because of that would be details. But the Animatrix is short cartoons that fill in the gap of the Matrix. So let's say the Animatrix, let's say, for example.
I have seen bits of, some of them. It looks really good too.
Yeah. So you have the Animatrix, the second Renaissance with part 1 and 2. And then you have the Animatrix, it's like a detective story. Both of those are set before the Matrix. Then you have the movie, The Matrix. Then, although all these Animatrix came out at the same time, they blend into the movies differently. So then if you watch The Matrix, then if you watch the Animatrix, the kid's story, and then the final flight of Osiris, then you watch The Matrix Reloaded, then you watch Animatrix Beyond, then Matrix Revolutions, then, Animatrix, Meticulated, Program, World Record, and then you watch Matrix Resurrections. That's the order. If you watched them in that order, those 12 movies, it would like lay out like a book. It would lay out like a straight book for you.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then that tells you the story of, and it's really telling you the story of it. I found it to be very similar to all these different things. They're always offering you a story of the same powers that be. All right. Because at the end of each day, you have the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's what offers you the time and season. They will always be correct. Always. And then mm-hmm. once you know that each one of those lights you can note the frequency. You can note the color of that frequency. You can also note what aspect of feeling, you know, or physical health can enter you by those. So if you have a certain, if you're having a certain, and I'm going to tell you how you can actually use any of this, because these characters use it for dark purposes so that they can create these different, stories. And they know that these stories, if they're told at certain times, will enter the mass, certain ways. Like at certain times, if they did it, people just wouldn't pay attention because they would be more interested in something else. You can only have so many balls juggling before one's dropped. So it's always a controlled narrative. But if you dismiss all of that and you just do your own work, you then soak up those frequencies yourself. And as long as you can identify what you're receiving, we'll get there.
After the break. Thank you. Yep. Back after the break.
Yeah, man.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Bongversations 56. Dave, keep on going.
Speaking of Matrix, you have the idea of metamorphosis. Even just thinking about it, the meta script, the meta glasses, the metamorphosis, which is Ovid.
Yeah,
I think you brought that up, right?
That's right. Ovid's Metamorphosis was a very interesting series of writings from a long time ago, but well worth looking into. Yeah.
Well, let's just look at the words though today. Ovid, COVID, metamorphosis.
Yeah.
Morpheus. So then what is the metamorphosis that's happening now? You can already tell what's happening now. The so-called snore, I call it. The snore is bringing in the digital ledger. And
it's bringing in everything.
And the Prince of Peace. All right.
Yep.
The false light
and the limelight will be coming on August the 12th. Put it on your calendar.
Put it on your calendar. That's going to be my test because I have to see it, because I'm really just looking at the timing of the lights. When they went in, because I don't have to, because you get nothing for telling the future. Zero. None. What you can do though is you can test it by putting it in an envelope and putting it in a safe and pulling it out on that next day following, opening it up and seeing what was true, what wasn't.
Yep.
So it's like, I'm putting this out. I'm putting out the reasons why I came to that, and then we'll see what happens. But something is going to happen, because I told you weeks ago, what was going to happen. I told you it's just going to get worse.
Yes, exactly. The last show, I think it was the very last show we did, at the Throne Under an Ouroboros.
Yep.
And you said, whether you like it or not, it's coming and it's going to be very shortly.
It happened about
3 days later, I do believe.
Yeah. And here's the thing though, Rick, it's like there's a way out, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it.
Yep. That's it.
And that's just it's a mental thing, meaning that you'll be visited on your own terms, meaning that you can literally lay out chapter and verse on why you can't stand this, that, or the other thing. Lay it out like you never laid it out before. Well,
interesting. You should bring up something just before about the polluted water and the dirty water.
Right.
Water. Mm-hmm. I had another. I always have, every now and then I have these dreams, and I had one years ago. I can still remember clear as day about me lying in a pool that had previously been, I could tell it had been a moldy old water, but it was absolutely pure and crystal pure water. Anyway, that was many years ago. I still remember it. I remember it right now. And then on Tuesday last week, I woke up middle of the night and I'd had this dream. I was on when you're in a factory and you go those metal grill stairs that are made out of metal metal grill stairs. I was lying on one of those, and underneath me was this huge torrent of polluted water, and I could actually smell it. It had a kind of a salt, sulfury kind of smell, and I was lying there, and it was rushing underneath me, but I saw the rain was coming in the background, and it was starting to come down and starting to purify that water. I could see it clear, and that was the imagery of the water. I have the, when I have water dreams, they always stand, I'll remember them forever. But this was a big one, and I had it again, just Tuesday night. So, something.
Well, I see a lot in that. Just the fact that it's water and it's giving you the choice between the two different water, the clean and the unclean. Well,
You could smell it was polluted water. It was like sewage water rushing underneath. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, there was a water coming down.
But also, you were from a raised position, meaning that you were
raised position.
You were taken out of it.
Yeah, I was totally safe because it was I can feel those metal stairs were completely solid that I was lying on, that I wasn't going to go in anywhere. But I could see that the water was starting, that there was rainwater coming down to wash into this polluted water, and it was purifying it. That was the imagery that I got, and I 100% remember everything.
Absolutely, because you also then know that the Wa is the sixth letter, but it's also known as the hook. So it's like the hook that brings you up out of there.
Yeah.
So it's like it's the water that cleans. There's a lot in there, man. There's actually, to me, I see the 440 as the water rushing below you, and the 432 being the cleansing water.
Yeah, that's
coming
right.
Through.
Yeah.
So then remember the 432 represents the blue green or the bright green or the yellow gold, the kind of the idea of the limelight when mixed. And then the red orange is that 440, that red orange, that blood, that abrasive, you know, undercurrent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you have this, so that really dreams are really to form, to shape, to fashion. It's like the idea. So then from those forms, shapes, and fashions, you can have a third type. So you have the dream, the daydream, and then you have what's called the deja vu. Now, we've talked about the deja vu before. The deja vu.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if, yeah, the deja vu, being that you're in a 440 hertz environment, that's 440. That's your eight. There's a crossing point on the eight. If you draw it out on a piece of paper, that point, that center, that crossing point, while it's not touching, it's more like a Mobius strip to where it looks overlaying from the direction. But if you look at it from the right angle, it's actually a continuous circuit. But at that point, you can see the other remember, or you can see the memory, meaning that since all has already been done, like everything's already been done, it's just we're living through it. That's a point that you saw what's already happened. So what I did today is it happened to me today specifically. And I asked my wife, I said, what time is it? And she said, it's 8:21. I said, oh, that's 83. That's 11.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we're doing a show tonight that reduces to 11, which is a concern.
Coincidence?
And I was like, noticed. No, I stopped and I looked around. And I said, what time is it? Because I knew what was happening. I knew it. Like I already knew it. I said, I've seen this before. And so it was, and I shared it with her and I told her, and she's like, yeah, okay. So she knew as well, but she was part of the very first experience when I had the light happen and I was saved.
Mm.
I mean, and then plus two other witnesses. So, like I said, here's the thing about this place, Rick, is like, you have to observe, you know, in the profession you have, it's all about observation because, you know, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, somebody walking in can just use their eyes and look and see if you did a proper job.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
All right. So that's observation. That's all you do in this place. And you're going to see things are off. Once you see something's off, then you investigate it. You pull on that thing. That's just like if you have a dream. Now, here's the thing. We've talked about a daydream. We've talked about a dream and a deja vu. A deja vu, if you notice it, as soon as you notice it, look at what time it is and look around. See if there's something in the room that you remember telling me that.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you're in a dream, as soon as you realize you're in a dream, take the dream over. All right. As soon as you realize it, take the dream over. And then you'll see a big difference. You have to do it to know what I'm talking about, but take the dream over. Once you know your dream, you take it over and then you'll be able to do things. Let me just tell you that. And then daydreams are more of a, they are kind of a blend of both. Daydreams, sometimes when you have a daydream, think about what brought you into that state, because you're really in a, you're in a state of trance. You're really in a state of kind of soma, you know, sleep. So, but yep. But what brought you into, if you can recall, and the more you do it, the easier it gets, but then it's going to be important. What brought you into it is important. You'll find out, because what happens is normally what happens is when you daydream, it's to take you out of a frame of thought. So in order to get you back to that, you need to go back. Otherwise and you'll find out for most of the time, it's something quite important spiritually that you don't want to miss. All right. Yep. Which is why, if you look at the so-called Phoenician script, the wall is shaped like the letter Y, is, or asking why is this happening? It's also in the so-called Hebrew, or the Aramaic, it looks just like the seven. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, because it's always about where your mind is. Where your mind is, your body follows, where that reflect is. And then, so we've covered the, we're really moving into the idea of into the dream world now, because we remember over the past shows, we've created this kind of mind computer. We've created the actual, you know, how to get into your mind. Now we're up into the dream state. And now we're looking at frequencies, colors, tones, tunes, musical notes, each one of these different so-called planet lights. So for example, Venus is the musical note of A3. All right. And it's also, let's say Mars, which was missing, that's going to be like a D sharp. Or an E flat. So then if you notice this, if you want to notice this, there's plenty of videos on YouTube about these different frequencies. Just listen to the tones and just what do you feel? Listen to it and what do you feel? You're going to feel the power of that tone. And so each one of these, when they're in the air above you and you're underneath them, looking at them, taking in that, you're taking in that tone. So now that you know that you're doing it, you can actually go outside and use all those lights in the sky for their purpose.
Excellent. You know, I've always known deep down that, you know, everything you're talking about, but you know, when you look at the stars, it creates questions and awe, you know, because I'm where I am. If I get back from where I work and at night time at midnight, I've got the full Milky Way. Like, you know, I don't need a telescope. Yep. It's incredible. And I just have to stand there and go, wow, every time, you know, for 61 years old now, every time I just stand and go, wow, it's just so awe inspiring. And there's so much power in those. It's just this giant clock ticking away upstairs. Awe-inspiring.
So Morpheus, I just noticed, an anagram is Supremo. So that's like the biggest, the top of the mark, the top guy. So then I just know this, in dreams, you play every character. And why I'm telling you this is because you're going to notice that if you're in a dream, and you're not playing that character, that's this power I'm talking about. That's the one you need to, that's going to be this false light that I'm talking about. That's that splinter. Now, if you remember in scripture, it says before you can help someone, you have to remove the beam from your own eye. That beam is light. It's a beam of light. Once that beam of light's removed, then you can tell someone else that they have a beam in their eye. That's what this beam's talking about.
Yeah.
That's that beam. So then, notice this, that dreams will be, and in fact, this is where a lot of this pollution comes from, is that people will watch a show, they'll listen to women, for example, know nothing men, and they'll listen to the words of those people during the day, they'll sleep on it, it'll come to them in their dream, and it will infect them. And then before too long, they'll start sounding like the influence. They'll start sounding like the character or the idol that they've allowed to represent them. They'll start to sound like him by saying, I don't know, I don't, and they'll use phraseology of their idol in their own speech. And you'll hear it happen.
I can hear it.
Then now that you know that, now that you can stand above that, and yes, you do stand above these. So let no demon tell you that they are not to be judged, because they are in a constant state of judgment. See? I stand above all demons. So then, just like with people in the pool, Rick, we've talked about, you can't help somebody out of it unless you're out of it yourself. Get out of it, then help them out.
Yeah, you're right. Totally agree. Good analogy there.
Yeah. Because otherwise you're just playing grab ass.
Or you're playing that crab game, the crab in the bucket, where you're never going to get out.
Yeah, just keep pulling people in. Yeah. So then, and I know, there's talking, we want to talk about the different concerns, and one of the concerns for some people is like the element, I call them elemental lines. Some people will call them chemtrails, and the liars will call them standard contrails.
Yep.
So then if people want to look at that as a concern, not that there's anything you can do about it first and foremost, but if you want to know what's actually happening, what is going on, you can look into certain elements and find out what these elements are used for, and then you will find out what's actually happening in the sky. Those elements are aluminum oxide, for example, barium, or what's called metallic salts,
strontium,
it's known as, thorium oxide, strontium for sure, thorium oxide as well, sulfur dioxide, silicon.
That's the big one at the moment. The sulfur dioxide's a big one at the moment. Yeah.
Well, it mimics dimming. It mimics so-called volcanic ash is why they use that.
Yeah.
And silicon and silica used, and that's also a artificial ash. Now that's only half the story, because what's happening is that it produces a communications net, or you know, if you're going to use Terminator talk, a Skynet.
Skynet, absolutely.
Yeah, it creates a, so there's not just one thing that's happening.
No, there's multiple. No, I've spotted all the different types and the different, the levels are very interesting as well. There's different levels of this stuff and the shapes. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. It does frustrate me that other people can't see it or won't see it, but I have to learn to live with that.
Well, what we talked about earlier in this episode, that not everyone you talk to is real.
That's right.
Not everyone you talk to is real. I'm just letting you know that. Some of these people are here literally to just stand in your way and be a stumbling block. They're not actually here for any other reason. Yeah. So you have all kinds of different reasons why you have like, drying of the atmosphere type of idea, and I don't even like that word, but drying of the level above the ground. You have the manipulation of so-called solar rays or waves, which is really like a wave impedance
and even
system.
moon sprays.
Yeah,
they're even dimming the moon. I've seen it happen in Sydney, and the lines and crisscrossing.
The winner is.
The winner is in Sydney. The crisscrossing the moon. On a full moon at night time, and I've been looking at the sky, Dave, since I was five. You know, when I was five, I started looking up because my favorite TV show was UFO that was on 1969, and the moon stuff. You know, we're getting bullshitted with, but I've been looking up there for a long time, Dave, and these things never happened back then. They did not happen.
You have the sun, which is your anode, because you're dealing with a system. You're dealing with the universe is the shape of the human eye. I tell people, if you want to see the universe, go look in the mirror. That's the model. The sun's the anode, which is your kind of your 432 baseline. And then your moon is the cathode, or it's the 28 day kind of, cycle, sine wave. And so through that, if they can block out that resonance, then if you're out there looking at it, soaking it in, it's going to be changed. Because it's just like water being deflected. It's So you're not getting the full spray, you know? So you're getting, but you're also getting, what happens if something filters through something? The end product is not, it's a byproduct. It's not the same as the original product.
Yeah.
So you're out there soaking in this frequency that's not the original frequency.
But there's a lot of that involved for sure. Yeah. And the general feeling of malaise and, you know, there's on certain days. But then you get those, nothing happens. It's timed, whatever they use, each different method, whatever of what they're doing is timed to full moons often in the sun. You know, it's just, it's all over the place.
Yes, it's complicated only if someone makes it. What happens is they give you all these different ways to look at the same thing. So what someone needs to do is we'll wait till
after the break. Bongversations 56. Back to
you. No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Conversation 56, and we're talking about one of the most important things to be talking about that Dave and I both are interested in, and the things going on above your head if you're aware or awake. Keep going, Dave.
Yeah. So then, like I tell people, if it helped me immensely to realize what this place is, each and every day when I wake up into it again, it's quite literally hell. So what I do is I just offer ways, the way out to anyone who will listen. And I accept no BS in return, meaning I accept no leaven. Throw no corpses on me. Don't throw any of that on me. Because if I hear it, then I've got to witness it. That's the thing. It's kind of like if I hear it or see it, I have to witness it. It's, you know, just like if you're, that's the difference between someone who's paying attention and someone who's not paying attention. It's like someone who's paying attention is going to see that thing fall on the ground and go pick it up.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have one who's not paying attention, who's not going to see it at all. Then you're going to have the fraud who's going to see it and just not do anything about it. All right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at now, with 56, you know, and kind of
it's been fantastic. I'll just say that.
So knowing that, I wanted to kind of tie this in with the Sandman. Did you read any of the ones by Neil Gaiman? Is that how you say his name? Gaiman or Gaiman?
Gaiman. Yeah.
Did you read any of his works?
I know who you're talking about, but no, I'm not 100. I wouldn't say I'm au fait with everything he's done, but I know.
Oh, okay.
I know
Billy Gaiman. But you've seen the movies, the different movies, and I'm suspecting that they just blend these characters in a lot.
They do. Well, they do. But it's, again, as you say, there's a Morpheus, and they use the same names and the same characters and archetypes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Being Hercules and Thor being almost the same person.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, or both carrying a club. One's carrying a club. One's carrying a hammer.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. But DC, I keep trying to explain to people, my kids particularly. I said these comics are not written for children. These are really high level things. Every character name, even the Spider-Man versus Scarlet Witch. You know, and Spider-Man. You know, the link between Spider-Man, the elites, you know, and the ancient Greek called us the spiders, you know, the non-gods. Yeah. And they tie spider and man as a link. So you're saying this name all the time, and you're linking man with spiders. It's a NLP, weapon. But the stories of, you know, because my kids were very much into the Marvel particularly, and all that whole series of movies with the Infinity Gauntlet and everything, I kept picking up, you know, this isn't new stuff. This is ancient myth retold again and again and again. So you know it, but you don't know it. See, and I try to explain to them that the world, what's got the spiritual world is real. And these people are telling you, they're telling you stuff, but they're making out that it's just a comic book for kiddies, you know, but it's not. And that's why I love those movies. I enjoy them.
Oh, yeah. So if you have Ovid's Metamorphosis, which is kind of like the idea of the fashioner, which is the Greek side, then you have the Kabbalistic side or the occult side, which is going to be, let's call it the, Archon of Form, let's say, which is the world of foundation, which is that tree you see. All right. Which that, and notice that that is like the idea of a dirt, meaning that they're forming, it's still forming from the dirt. So it's this, it's still creating this Genesis 2 form beyond dirt man that lives between his ears versus living by his senses. He lives between his ears. All right. So then you also then have like within the folklore fairy tale side, which is, you know, where we're talking about like the Sandman side, where he uses like the grains of sand, which is really, it's the silica quartz. If you think about it, you can think about it as kind of sand is just being simply dirt, but it's not. It's more of this idea of if I whirl it around, I'm creating like a digital realm or a quartz realm. Think of like the Superman, his hideout.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
With all that. Crystal. We've talked about that before. Yeah. And just so you know, let's say, you know, what they call petrified trees are not, they're not trees. They've never been trees because wood doesn't become quartz or things like that. They're just exposed veins of quartzite or what's called like really communication or what can be used as fiber optic. Yeah. So there's, just so you know, just like, and gold and silver, these things grow in veins for a reason. That's why minds go all different direction, because it's like in your veins. If you look at your forearm, for example, and you'll see your veins, how they're looking, they're not like running, you know, they're running off at all different directions. It's all unique. It's all its own self, its own creation. Like this rock is not that rock, even if they come in the same bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so Yeah. So that's kind of how you notice how we went like you. So if you have the Greek fashioner, you have these different stories. They're really just talking about these sine wave or tone or 432 versus 440 in this case. And that's to break it down simply. That's to break it down simply to color and to what frequency and hertz it actually can measure to, meaning you can go out and get the equipment and measure it yourself and this will still be the same.
Fantastic.
So when you create, and we've talked about this, when you create for hard drives and semiconductors, you don't go into work deciding today I'm going to do it this way or that way. You do it this way, this way, this way, and you test this other way in experiment to see if it works better. And if it doesn't, you keep doing it the other way, the other way, the other way until you find something different. And everything works off of what's called the gold standard, meaning that this is the way this happens, that your overlay has to be within this tolerance.
Yeah.
That your thickness has to be within this many angstroms. All right. Yep. So everything has a goal, a standard. All right. Or a form or a shape. It's just like you do forms. You've done concrete and stuff. So you set a form because if you don't set a form.
Form work. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to set the form. And what shape do you want? All that stuff. And what fashion do you want? Because you got to fashion it while you have the opportunity, meaning while it's still wet.
Yeah, of course.
You know, do you want it beveled in for a drain? Do you want it raked on top, brushed on top? Do you want little designs? Do you want to put little coins in? Whatever you want to do. That's got to happen during a specific time. But do you notice how it, meaning that time is something that is finite. However, time right now is present. So it's not too late to then start that or to start this idea, because time is now present, meaning you can start something right now. It's like, you know, so it's like, I could have learned to play a guitar, or I could have learned to play a piano, but I don't have enough time. Well, you do if you start right now.
Of course. Yeah. Exactly.
You have plenty of time. So it's just like, really the scenes from Groundhog Day, where since you already know you're living the same day over and over and over again, just learn something new today.
Yeah.
Learn something today that you can share with somebody that they can go out and test to be true. And then that they can share with somebody that they can test to be true. Because at this point, most people offer nothing but this 440, these details, this red orange. They offer you this red orange and say, squeeze it.
Yeah.
And all you're left with is with a bloody orange mess in your hand every time.
Yeah. That's about it.
Hey, Doug, enough already.
I think we've,
we're good. Enough.
Yeah. I think we're good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think we're on that note, because it's a good way to end.
So I'll let you. Yeah, so round it out, and I'll see you in the green room.
See you in the green room, man. And so thank you, everyone. I think we'll end with a nice piece of music about to do with Mars that I popped into my head as Dave was talking, and I'll send it off to Joel, and I'll speak to Dave. I'll see you in the green room. So be blessed, everyone, and
be blessed, everybody. We'll be back. Talk to you soon.
We'll be back. Bye.